I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello and welcome to mini episode 342 of Real Life Ghost Stories, and I have three spooky stories for you today, and the last story comes from the 16th of February 2024, and story number one comes from Sherston. I come from a family of gifted women. My grandmother has dreams of the future and my mother has always been able to see spirits. But me? I didn't seem to get either of those gifts. It wasn't until high school that I learned I had ended up with an entirely different set of abilities. And one of these days, I will write about some of the other adventures I've had since then. But for now, I want to tell you about the Weeping Lady. In high school, I had a friend named Mary. They were practically from another world. I lived in the countryside where the chickens outnumbered the people 1,000 to 1 in a small farmhouse. Mary lived in a large city about 30 minutes away in a neighbourhood called The Avenues. Think incredibly wealthy people with giant homes up on the foothills of the mountains overlooking the valley. One day Mary was down visiting when we went for lunch with my friend Kylie. Mary mentioned they'd taken up urban exploring, going into abandoned places to see what they could find. Their particular mission? Find the paranormal. I asked Mary if she'd been to any of the cemeteries in our neck of the woods, to which they excitedly asked if we'd show them around. We started with the Old Benjamin Cemetery, a little postage stamp of a cemetery dating back to the 1860s. While we explored, we found a series of old sandstone headstones that seemed to stand defiantly against the blue smudge of the afternoon sky. It took a bit to read them, but with some paper and crayons, we were able to take a good enough rubbing to tell what they read. The headstones told of a pair of brothers who had been murdered while being robbed. And even more exciting, the headstones contained a curse on all those who would commit evil. Mary could not handle their excitement. They demanded to see more cemeteries. After Benjamin, we stopped past Kylie's house for dinner. Her mom told us about a local cemetery that contained a statue known as the Weeping Lady. Legend had it that if you asked the Weeping Lady questions, you might get a reply. As soon as it was dark, we loaded into the car and drove over to the cemetery. While we looked around to find the Weeping Lady, Kylie and Mary both snapped photos with their digital cameras. Orbs had been spotted throughout the cemetery, according to local legend. And then we found her. The Weeping Lady is a statue on top of a grave that stands on a platform about 6 feet above the ground. It features a woman, dressed in draping robes, sitting down with her face tipped back towards the sky. A mournful, thoughtful expression set forever into her features. Because of the angle of her face, decades of rain had worn what looked like tear tracks down her face, hence the name. Mary was nearly vibrating with excitement as we walked up. Me? I honestly just felt a bit creeped out and wanted to go home. But we faithfully turned on the recorder and began to ask questions. Mary asked the lady what her name was. Kylie asked if we were alone, and me? I was so freaked out that I blurted out, "What happened here?" We kept asking a few more questions before playing the recording back. First came Mary's question. Silence. Then Kylie's. More silence. And then I asked my question. A sound like a pop crackled underneath my voice, and then suddenly a series of voices could be heard talking under me. No matter how many times we replayed the recording, we couldn't tell what was being said. It was like 100 voices all clamoring for attention at once. Mary got a gleam in their eye. I should have known I was in trouble the moment I heard those voices. That weekend, I went up to visit Mary, and they said they had something special they wanted to show me. We spent most of the afternoon watching movies and eating snacks, normal stuff. Then, as the sun crept towards the horizon, Mary asked if I wanted to go for a drive. It was a balmy summer night, and driving the city with the windows down was one of the best ways to burn time. So I stupidly agreed. It wasn't until Mary pulled up to a stop beside the Salt Lake City Cemetery that I realized what the special something was. It turns out special was code for a huge cemetery. The Avenues has one of the largest cemeteries in the state and is even older than the one in Benjamin. We're talking thousands of plots dating back to 1847, which by Utah standards is incredibly old. I was familiar with it before Mary hauled me there. My Nana and Aunt are both buried there. Sitting in the car, I noticed the sign that vividly declared, "No trespassing after dark. Violators will be arrested." You have no idea how badly I wanted to lock myself in the car and stay put. But the idea of leaving Mary on their own in that situation somehow sounded worse than facing the dangers of a cemetery at night. So I reluctantly trailed after Mary. As we walked through the wrought iron gates, Mary explained there were two graves she wanted to test my ability on. One was Emo's grave, which is a mausoleum in the Jewish sector of the cemetery. It's said that if you light a candle and walk backwards around the mausoleum 3 times, when you look inside, you'll see the glowing red eyes of Emo's ghost. The other was a grave where if you peered into a hole in it, you could see a ghost's eye staring back up at you. As soon as they described these two graves, I noped out. I told them they could go look at them and try it themselves, but I would have none of it, thank you very much. Mary shrugged and went off ahead, saying they'd be back for me in a bit. I realised a little too late that I didn't have any way to get into Mary's car, so I had to either wait out on the street or stick it out inside the cemetery. For a few minutes, I stumbled through the darkness, cursing Mary, ghosts and old urban exploring. With each step, I began to feel a greater sense of dread, as though someone was following me just out of sight. I tried to tell myself it was just security coming for me, but it felt different, more ominous, angry, threatening even. I got the sense that if I stopped moving, it would find me, and when it did, I would regret it. But then, just as suddenly, I stopped short. The feeling had vanished as I stepped up onto a little hill beneath a large pine tree. Letting out a breath, I collapsed down onto the ground and curled up against a headstone. Somehow, I felt completely safe, as though someone were sitting beside me protecting me from whatever that was. I waited in the darkness, just trying to steady my breathing, until the glow of Mary's flashlight alerted me to their return. I called out to let them know where I was, and they quickly turned towards me. And when Mary reached me, their face went pale. "Why did you stop here?" they asked. I explained about the weird feeling of being followed and suddenly feeling safe. Mary gave a strangled laugh as they shone a flashlight on the headstone. In the small oval frame was a photo of a handsome guy with a certain sadness in his blue eyes. I was startled when I saw the death date. "He went to my school," Mary explained. "He died by suicide just a couple of months ago." Gosh, I do remember those teenage days of just driving around late at night because there was nothing else to do, and driving felt like such a luxury and a novelty. And it was, God, summer nights just driving around, those were the days. I always find it really interesting that gifts seem to predominantly pass between women and families. Like generations of women gifts seem to pass down the line. And I wonder why that is, why women seem to be more inclined to have these gifts. I'm not entirely sure. That's not to say that men don't have gifts. They do, but it often seems to be the way that these gifts pass through lines of women. But besides all of that, I would be livid if my mum and my grandmother had a gift and then I thought I had nothing. I would be so annoyed. So does this mean that your gift is being able to communicate with those who have passed on? So you asked what happened here, and then you got this sort of clamoring cacophony of voices coming from the abyss, which is absolutely terrifying. I do think it's hilarious that Mary sort of looked at you with the paranormal equivalent of dollar signs in their eyes and was like, I've got my very own spirit box right here. And it must have been a real shock for them to see you kind of curled up at the gravestone of somebody that they went to school with. And it does sound like something protected you in that graveyard. Something was like, listen, we're not going to let any harm come to you. Sherston, I am excited to hear more stories about your gifts, to be honest.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
And story number two comes from Rob. During the mortgage crisis, I maintained foreclosed homes for various banks in Minnesota. Late fall of 2010, I got a work order to winterize a house that had recently been put up for sale in North Minneapolis. After using my skeleton key to gain access, I locked myself inside to prevent uninvited guests from following me. I had shut off the water main and attached the charged air compressor to the line, preparing to force the remaining water out. At that moment, I thought I heard the front door open. I paused and strained my ears to determine if I had imagined it or I was no longer alone. Shortly, I heard voices, but was not able to hear what they were saying. I could hear at least two people, with one being either a child or a female. After another few minutes, I heard footfalls on the hardwood floor in the hallway at the top of the stairs. The first set was definitely high heels, followed by heavier steps of soft-soled shoes. No longer concerned the guests may have had ill intent, I decided to complete the winterization. I opened the pressure valve, causing every faucet, spigot, and water outlet in the entire house to loudly and violently erupt at the same time. As if also connected to the line, a soul-curdling woman's scream rang out over the hiss and gurgles of the compressed air. To be clear, I am married with four girls, and this was not the scream when someone sees a spider. This was the scream of a woman whose soul was leaving her body and had the potential to break glass. As the kind, fatherly man that I am, I doubled over in laughter and fell to the floor, trying to stifle the belly laugh forcing itself out of my lungs. After regaining my composure, I closed the pressure valve and headed up the stairs to make sure all the water had been drained. I intentionally stomped my heavy work boots so as not to startle the guests with my presence. Reaching the top, I saw a young couple at the end of the hall staring at me with eyes the size of saucers. The woman was hiding behind the man, peeking under his armpit to see who I was. The young male shakily asked, "Who the fuck are you?" I looked behind myself and back at them, responding, "You can see me." Taking a second or two to process what I had said, the woman suddenly fainted, Startled by the noise, the man looked back at his companion and whispered, "Oh, fuck me." I was too concerned I had killed the poor girl to laugh and ran out to get my first aid kit from the truck for some smelling salts. By the time I returned with the kit, she had already come to. As I rounded the corner with the kit open, trying to find the ammonia packet, she saw me and screamed again, startling me into tossing the entire kit into the air and all over the floor. I'm not sure, but I would bet that they did not buy that house. Rob went on to say that he wasn't writing the story with the intention of getting on the podcast. He just wanted to give us a laugh, you know. But I thought, this is a great story and I want to share it on the podcast. Partly because it made me wonder how many stories have occurred where there actually has been an innocent explanation. So if you imagine this from the point of view of the people who are in viewing the house, they're walking around and next minute all of the taps, every faucet in the house all turn on at the same time, right? Freaky enough. And then you hear the stomp, stomp, stomp of heavy work boots above your head and you're like, what the fuck? And then you see a man and the man is like, you can see me? I would also be passing out on the spot. So like I said, how many people have seen ghosts or experienced hauntings that have a perfectly reasonable explanation? Rob, I gotta say it, I commend your dedication to the bit. You know, it's pretty funny. And our final story today comes from VKVH. I can sense energy spirits. I can pick up a person's feelings by sitting next to them. I constantly see people or animals out of the corner of my eye. My laundry room and garage are where they love to be. When people die or are close to it, I feel their helpers come to take them. I then sense if the dead person is still here or on another plane. My son also senses energies. A few years back, we went to a hotel on vacation. My son was younger then, 9 or 10. He saw an evil energy. I will call it a demon or likewise. He heard it breathing right by his ear all night long. He told me the story then and he recalled it a year ago. Just a few days later, I was cleaning, bent down to get into a cabinet. Out of nowhere, I heard a loud and angry, creepy yell directly in my ear. Never have I been so scared in my whole life. I was in shock and couldn't move from it. I sensed it by me, watching. I did not turn around. I did get out of the room to one right next to it. I did not go into that room for a few hours. It was still standing there watching me. I have never heard or seen anything so evil before. During the few hours I was out of the room, I told it to leave, told it doesn't belong here, etc. I did a house cleansing and have never heard that evil scream or sensed it again. My son senses it watching him and said it came from my grandma's house and now he senses it sometimes watching him. At grandma's house, he and I cleansed the room and told it to get the fuck out of here, to stop, to leave, that it scared us, to stop it and leave now. We haven't sensed it in a while. I know a neutral, more on the positive side energy does hang out in his room and is around sometimes, but not always. So I feel much better now without that freaky evil thing. Oh, bless you. That must have been so difficult for both you and your son. And I'm not a parent, but I can only imagine as a parent, you must want to do everything that you possibly can to protect your children, especially when they're so young and he's, you know, seeing or hearing or feeling this evil energy. It must be really terrifying for both him and for you. But I'm really glad that you were able to do some cleansing and that seems to have done the trick for now and that your son has this positive, neutral, at least leaning towards positive energy that looks out for him too. It sounds so terrifying though to be cleaning, to bend down to get something and to hear that voice, that angry voice yell directly in your ear. Oh, you did exactly what I would do. I'd be like, I'm never going into that room again. The end. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Thank you to Sherston, Rob and VKVH for sending in your stories. Remember, the last story came from February the 16th, 2024. And if you would like to send in your story, you can do so by emailing it to reallifeghoststoriespodcast@gmail.com. You can also check out the website, reallifeghoststoriespodcast.com. And if you are desperate for some extra content, you can subscribe to the Patreon. That is patreon.com/reallifeghoststories, where for $5 a month or $2 a month, you get access to heaps of extra content, as well as every single main and mini episode completely ad-free. And on that note, I shall see you next time.
Rory and Kit here from the award-winning podcast, This Paranormal Life.
Every week we investigate a paranormal story and decide if it's real or a hoax.
Like the time a guy claimed he punched Bigfoot.
Or when a UFO showed up at a football game in front of thousands of people.
Each episode has sound effects, music, and storytelling that feels so real, you'll never sleep again.
You will. Stop it. You're going to scare away new listeners.
Check out This Paranormal Life every Tuesday, wherever you listen to your podcasts.